This is where you say hello, everybody, and thanks for joining the show.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining the show. What do I say next? What do I say
Eric,
next?
Eric, you look beautiful tonight.
Eric, you look beautiful tonight. Line.
Oh man, Grace, we are less than 48 hours post-mortem of World's End.
What a muddy mudsicle.
Yeah. We should probably talk about this past weekend and what all happened and what all happened with you and all the good, all the bad, all the muddy, all the ugly, all the words.
I want to talk about all of it. I love it.
All right, let's do the right thing and start the show, and then we will get into it. Sound good?
Deal.
Happy Monday, Grace. Let's roll. Grace, World's End Ultra went down Saturday, and the conditions were nothing short of pure slop, and the trail was mean. Let's discuss all the things on episode 117. I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Boom, 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 boom. Pew-pews. It's my pew-pews.
So we definitely didn't talk before pre-show and definitely wore the same color hat. It's like
we did.
We're vibing. Like,
yeah.
Wait.
Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that again. Please don't watch this on YouTube. That is inappropriate. All and right. I don't think Eric understands that.
This is not a good start. Wait, backspace, delete.
Oh, gosh, live show. This is the beauty of doing a live show.
We're meshing, okay?
There we go.
That's what I should have done.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's perfect. Hey, let's talk about the weekend. We were both in attendance at the World's End Ultra, which is an awesome race in Pennsylvania. And here's one of, there were so many great comments afterwards. I want to read one of them. You ready?
Yes, please go.
Okay. Ready, set, go. I never knew there were so many different kinds of mud. Sticky mud, slippery mud, black mud, brown mud, gray mud, yellow mud, mud that splashes, mud that splatters, mud that squirts all the way up your shorts, mud that sucks your shoes off, mud that sucks your socks and shoes off. Mud with rocks in it. Mud that washes off in the creek. Mud that doesn't wash off in the creek. Good race, everyone. That was from Tyler Weidler. So thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, that was a pretty good description of the course at World's End up in beautiful Sullivan County. I think everybody knew going into this race, at least a week beforehand, if not more, that it was going to be a wet year.
Yeah.
You had warned us even. You went up there scouting and told us it was going to be wet. But the beauty of it was it didn't even give us like a few days to just be nice out. It poured hours before the race, all night long, it poured rain.
Yeah, so, it poured all like the way the night before and into the beginning of the race.
So, yeah, like if it was like a cake you're putting icing on, that was the icing on the cake.
Yeah, this was like, what are those, the Swiss Island cakes where it's just like cake and then icing and then cake and then icing and then cake and then, and there's icing all over. There was ice, it was hat on a hat. It was icing on icing. That's what happened.
I never had Swiss Island cake. Swiss roll.
Swiss, no, these are down in Delmarva. They're delicious.
Oh, whatever.
So, this was like, I literally ran a 100 miler previously in a tropical storm, and this was worse conditions than that. That's how I felt. It was pretty rough conditions. I've done a lot of muddy courses, wet courses before, and this was definitely the worst course conditions I've ever run in. But it was fun. I had a good day.
I mean, it was a great year to come get your money's worth. Those that don't even know what we're talking about, Grace ran the 100K. I did not run anything. I just went up to watch the carnage, which was well worth the price I paid to get over there.
And you volunteered. You volunteered and you had several athletes running as a coach. So you had a lot going on.
Yeah, I helped out at Aid Station 1, which Becky was officially signed up for, and Lauren. But yeah, we hung out and just hopscotched aid station all day long to see who was crying and who was dying. It's really a blast. We love going over there, even if we're not running the race.
Yeah.
But yeah, it poured all night long Friday night. And I mean, I don't even think it would have mattered much, but like the bright side is the rain stopped pretty much right when you guys were starting at 5 a.m. and didn't really rain the rest of the day. It was a high of like mid 50s all day long, which is insane for the last day of May. But yeah, that it didn't matter. If those cool temperatures would have been around for a dry-ish year, big things would have happened. I think people would have finished that were close to cutoffs because it was just so cool compared to what this time of year usually gives us for World's End.
Yeah. I think you're spot on. I mean, the weather was amazing. It was the course conditions that made it so rough and that made it a slow year. But the weather itself was great. And not only like it was cool and there was a little bit of even when it would start to warm up a little bit, there was a little bit of a crisp wind in the air, but it wasn't too windy because the trees would break the wind a little bit. It was just lovely, lovely running weather. No bugs out on the course. And that's not typical of this race. So really great running weather. but a tough course. The other thing that was really interesting is this course itself has a lot of small waterfalls and then one big waterfall. And because there had been so much rain the night prior, the waterfalls were just fully flowing and absolutely beautiful.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, any scenic parts of the course with water, which was the whole course, was probably beautiful other than the trail itself. That just got sickening, I'm sure. Listen, before we get into your end and your story and your adventure, I want to go over the winners of the 100K and 50K because this race is, I would say arguably the hardest 100K in PA, at least. We can leave it at that. And the mud and the weather made it that much more harder. So anybody who had tackled it, whether you finished or not, just know that it's a beast of a course. And beautiful thing is it's always there next year.
Yep.
Anyway. The 100K, Ben Quattrimoni in 11:24 was the overall winner. I saw him through and like you can appreciate this because you saw the course, but like how hard it was to go fast. These people blow my mind. These times would be impressive on just dry dirt, let alone the slop you guys had to go through. So it's incredible. Ben Quattrimoni took first, Justin Scheid second, Regan McCoy third. On the women's side, Colleen Moffitt first, Jill Dennis second, and Shannon Sebron third.
Nice.
The 50Kers, I watched the 50K race for a while. The top three males ran together, like in a group for a long while, which was cool to see. But Scott Lesh must have took off towards the end. He won. Tony Maloney, which I love that name. I wish my name Tony Maloney. Second, and Michael Heistand third. Now, this is the coolest thing. Sandy Spittler won the 50K in a blazing time of 5:35, setting a new course record.
Wow. Amazing.
Which that course record is many years old. I'm going to say at least five, six, maybe. So to do that on, again, those conditions, holy crap, what should we, would she have done on a normal year, you know?
Right.
Rhea Weaver second, Lara Malone third. So congratulations to everybody, all of those people who podiumed for this tough trail race up north.
Fabulous. Yeah. Some other, let's talk about other standout performances, because I think you probably have some in your head as well. I know a friend of the show, Laura, placed seventh in the 50K. And Larrick was fifth in the 100K. So that was great. And Travis, who is listening in, I think it was, wasn't it Travis? You had your son.
Travis pace? Rankin?
Yeah.
Yeah, his son paced him from Fern Rock to the finish.
That was all the story. I went to Fern Rock. I'm telling the end of the story already. So I was a DNF, but I went to Fern Rock to hang out and see people. And just everybody, that's what everybody was talking about. Like, this guy and this little kid, and he's going to pace. And then I saw the pictures afterwards. So that was pretty cool, Travis, to bring your son along. That was neat.
That's very awesome. That's what it's all about. And yeah, he finished. He finished within the golden hour. I don't know what time, but like he didn't have much time to waste. But I'll be honest with you, he probably didn't really care if he finished or not after picking up his son at Fern Rock. So
what a great experience. And sounds like his son's name is Jack. So congratulations, Jack, on bringing your dad into the finish. I am sure it was a huge boost and something that the two of you can remember for forever. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Travis is one, you know, I don't know if he listens to the show or not, but we need to get him on the show. He's got a good story. He's chasing the PA Triple Crown this year.
Yep.
He's crushing it. He's going to do it. But he'd be a good one to sit down and talk to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to write that down like I'm going to look at it later and remember. What I mean. there was a lot of cool finishes, a lot of people we know, a lot of people doing better than they previously had. I had an athlete DNF last year, and he finished this year. He's doing the Triple Crown, so that's always cool. That's always a confidence builder. This World's End race, if you are doing the Triple Crown, and even if you're not, it can, just like any race, but it can be a huge confidence builder with yourself moving forward, and it can also tear you down a little bit and kind of humble you if you're not careful. Hopefully it's the first one that most people come out on top of, even if you learn some things or make some mistakes at World's End. Now is the time to make those mistakes and fix them pre-Eastern States. So I don't know. I mean, they're two totally different races, but you know, all in all, it's just Eastern States is similar, but it's 40 miles longer. and that sounds silly, but it's just as hard, but it's not that much different, I don't think. It's just you're out there longer and you're trudging along longer.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So it was.
Go ahead.
It was. They're both tough courses, and I think, like I've said before about World's End, I think that a lot of people look at the elevation gain, and they look at the distance, but it is very technical, and even in a quote unquote dry year, it's still a wet course.
Yeah,
and so it just makes it a tough 100K, and. Sounds like Lauren Brion had an hour and 20 minute PR from last year. Man, that was awesome. And so a couple other stats. We're still seeing the stats come through, but a couple of them that were posted earlier today, 50% of the finishers came in the golden hour. So 50% of the people who finished, I think it was 119 finishers, right around there, 100 and change. Finishers. So half of them came in the last hour of this race, 25%. So one quarter of the finishers, I think, came in the last, what was it, the last 15 minutes?
That's nuts.
Half hour? Yeah. Yeah. And that just speaks to how brutal this course is. Because there were a lot of strong athletes who came in that golden hour. I mean, you were looking at the people coming through being like, man, I know what they're capable of on a dry course. So it had to have been tough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, those numbers don't lie. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. So we had one question come in, and I'm interested in other people adding into the chat with their answers. Did the cool temperatures make up for all the mud? I think it depends on the person. For me, it did not. Because mud is not kind to my knees and my hips, slip sliding around. But for other people with different strengths and weaknesses, you know, that might have actually helped them. So I think it depends on the person.
Yeah, it's just a shame that you're never going to get a year that's that cool again. And, you know, obviously it might happen next year, but the odds are you're not going to get end of May over here that cool. Usually it's pretty humid. Sometimes it is wet, but to happen on a year where that you can't take advantage of it, in my opinion, because the mud takes it the other way is a shame, but I guess that's part of trail running.
Yep. You're spot on. That was one of the things that I was bummed about because I've always said that if I finish this race, it's because there are a lot of things outside of my control that go right by coincidence, like great weather conditions, great trail conditions. You know, if I ever finish, it's because a lot is going in my favor, and that is not likely to ever be in my favor again. So I believe, according, I think this is true, Dave can verify, but I believe I am the very first to be 0 for 4 tries on this course. I'm going to wear that badge with pride, you know?
You very much should, because you keep coming back and trying, and that's what it's all about. That's a beautiful thing. You should be there, like, not all joking aside, you should be proud of that, because it's one of the hardest courses, meant to destroy you, meant to send you home whimpering with your tail between your legs, and you're strong enough to keep trying it. So that is something to be proud of.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself for continuing to get back out there. And in every year, I learn and I apply what I've learned. But other stuff pops up that, you know, I can, like I said, it's going to be a year where there's perfect conditions. So I don't think I keep trying at a course that's out of my reach. I think it is within my reach with the right circumstances. So I'm not just willy-nilly signing up for things that I can't do. You know, I've done 100K distance several times before. It's not a distance that I'm unfamiliar with or anything like that. But I didn't finish, and that's okay. I keep going for it. And I saw Dave. This was, and the whole time, you know, when I finished, it was funny. It was at McCarty Aid Station, which McCarty Aid Station did not used to have. It was used to be a no cut aid station, and now it does have a cutoff, which is fine, you know. So I've never been cut that early before, but I think only because it didn't have a cut previously. Mm. But Don Nisley was there, and I came through the trees, and he says, "Grace, I got bad news for you." And I was like, "Well, I mean, maybe, let's hear it." And he says, "You're 7 minutes over cutoff." And I'm like, "Well, Don, honestly, my knees feel terrible, and I'm not sure if that's bad news for me, because I'm ready to get out of the mud." And I was fine and everything. So after the race, of course, I hung out at Fern Rock for a little bit, cheered people on, and then got a shower quick and then headed to the finish line so we could watch people come in the golden hour. And I asked Dave after the race, I said, I race direct, you race direct, and you know how it is. If there's somebody who signs up for my race who I think they're actually going to hurt themselves, I would hope that any race director would do the right thing and say, "Hey, maybe this race isn't for you." Like, any race director, I think, has the right to do that, right?
Sure.
And so I said to Dave, I said, "Dave, when are you going to stop letting me into this course, into your race?" And that's been my fear, is like, eventually he's just going to say, "Grace, just stop, just quit. You know, I'm giving your spot up to somebody else." And And he's the one who made me tear up. I didn't cry at all before this. And I didn't cry, but my eyes welled up. I said, "Dave, when are you going to stop letting me into your race?" And he said, "When you finish."
Good answer.
That was a really great answer. So I'm going to go back. As long as I'm not injured or anything like that, I'm going to go back next year.
Nice. Yeah.
I think that's going to be the year. I feel good. I had a really good time. I really enjoyed myself. I was all business. Like if anybody saw me on the course, you probably thought I was mad at you. I swear I wasn't. I was just very much in the zone and trying to not get distracted. I was really trying to give it my all. But in my little mind, I was having a good time. And you know what I did? A couple of times I went like this, Eric. I went shh. And I did my little mental picture.
That's awesome.
I took some mental pictures, just like you taught me, and it was gorgeous, and I enjoyed it. And being out there after taking 3 years away from this course, a three-year break, I'm ready to get back at it and finish this race one of these years.
Love it. All right. Well, there it is then.
Yeah.
363 days to train.
Yeah. I went for a 1 mile walk today my knees are still mad. I'm still slow moving on downhills and not happy with me. That's okay.
We talked a little bit before we went live, but I would think this year, probably I would think it tore people up a little more than normal just because all the slippiness, nothing stable and pulling your feet out of the soul sucking mud and uses those little tendons and muscles that you really don't ever use when you're just running on a hard packed trail.
Yeah. Yeah. My ankles, I have pretty strong ankles from dancing many, many years. So my ankles are sore. My Achilles are sore. My hips. There's this weird spot on the back of my left knee that hurts really bad. Like my abs are sore because I fell many times. A lot of people fell, but it was interesting. The falls, every time you would fall, you would just fall in this squishy patch of mud. So the falls weren't really that bad. But I was very muddy. And because, you know, when you fall, you'll like start to trip. And when you catch yourself, you tighten your abs, you know? So like my abs are sore. So everything is absolutely, I feel more beat up with this one. And I made it to mile 44 or something like that. And I feel more beat up than if I were to run a full 100K or 70 miles, 80 miles. I feel pretty beat up, but I'm definitely not injured. It's just, I can feel it, you know?
Right. That's just little trinkets, little memories to take with you from the weekend for a little bit.
It is. Can I tell you one of them?
Sure. I would love to hear it.
I know I've been talking too much already, but I'm really excited. I got to tell you about this one moment. So I came out of coal mine aid station. I'm coming out of coal mine and there's this kind of pretty flat patch and it was dry. So I was able to run finally. And so I'm running up high and it's nothing but ferns and hemlocks and everything's really, really pretty. And I threw on my headphones because I'll listen to like techno music or music like
boonch, 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 like that.
That's, yeah, we'll go with that. Okay. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just like that. And like moody music, like stuff that you would hear from soundtracks, things like that. And it makes me run faster because I feel like I'm in a movie and I'm going to go like save somebody or something, you know? And so I'm listening to all that kind of music and I'm running fast and there's ferns and hemlocks. It's real pretty. And then it got dark and then the wind kicked up and then Phil Collins, the song In the Air Tonight, came on my headphones. And it was really cool. And that's when I decided that I'm going to come back next year.
Huh.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It was a neat moment.
Yeah. I mean, those moments are the ones that matter, you know?
Yeah.
How many mental pictures did you take out there?
Oh, man. They were probably 10. I had like 10 really good ones, you know? There was a lot of moments that I'm never going to forget, but I remember specifically there was this waterfall and I'm looking at it and I'm just like, man, I wish I purposefully put my phone in my pack so I couldn't get to it, you know? So I put it way back there. I'm like, I'm not getting out my phone. I'm not going to take any pictures no matter how pretty it is. And I saw this waterfall that was gorgeous. And I was like, oh, I know. I'm going to do a mental picture like Eric says. And I did. I went, ch-ch-ch. And I even made that noise.
I love that so much. Oh, the noise is totally legit. Like you should make the noise. And it will save in your memory bank. Like you can get these mental cameras at Walmart on sale for like $5.99. Amazon sells them in bulk. Like you can buy 20 mental cameras. And what you do is you put them in your pack, right? Okay. And while you're in the course, you do exactly what you're doing. You take these pictures. And the crazy thing is they don't take seconds off the clock of your race because they're mental cameras and mental photos. Mm-hmm. So all the photos I'm seeing that are absolutely gorgeous of people taking these photos, and then everybody has their thing. You want to go out there, enjoy the day, and then, you know, run faster because you stop and take photos. But you can also go to the park and take those pretty pictures on after the race or anything like that. So, man, a mental camera, I'm telling you, Amazon, mental camera saves you a lot of time, and you have more time then to stop, stay at the aid station if need be to change the shoes, and just it takes a little pressure off. So mental camera from Amazon or Walmart is the way to go.
Yes, agreed. Mental camera. And you know what, I thought with this course, I'm like, well, somebody in the 50K who's like mid-pack, April Zimmerman, actually. I mean, she was out on the 50K and she takes great photos and she posted a bunch of them. And so I just downloaded a bunch of her photos afterwards. Thank you, April.
Yep.
So I was like, you know, I just don't have time for that. And that's okay. Now, speaking of which, here's another thing. I asked my crew. My crew was amazing. So I had Lacey and Gina and my pacers, Tessie Barnes and Jeff Kearns. I mean, just power crew, right? And I did ask them to time me at the aid stations. So mm-hmm. I skipped aid station one and I skipped another aid station. I forget what other one. Two of them where my crew were, I actually spent a little bit of time there. Sure. But here's my times. You ready for this?
Your overall time?
My times at my aid stations. Oh, aid station time. Mm-hmm. So my longest was Jackson Flats, and that was 3:51. Beautiful. And World's End was 2:08.
I love every bit of that. I hope there's others listening that hear that. You are a back of the pack runner. So just because you're slower doesn't mean you should take longer. I mean, I don't know. I mean, people are going to have their opinions, but an aid station is a pit stop like you're a NASCAR driver. It should be. There's no reason to spend more time there. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Don't get me wrong. But the more you think about it being, okay, this stop needs to be as fast as possible. There's, unless you're hurt or unless you are having a shoe change, which that's debatable in a course like Saturday, there shouldn't be a chair there for you. No. You'll sit when you're done.
Yep.
Stuff like that, man. I like, well, let's see, how many total aid stations were there? 8
that I got through?
No, total for the 100K.
Oh, I think there's more than that. I think there's like 11. There's a lot.
All right. Well, let's just go. Let's just go at 10 because mathing is hard for me.
That's right. Let's do 10.
You take 5 minutes, which doesn't even sound that bad. 5 minutes at every aid station. Mm-hmm. Man, now we got to do the math. 10 times 5, carry the 1. I mean, you know what I'm saying? No, like, okay, now we're talking about cutoffs. You have 50 minutes more to spare. Let's just say 40, because you are going to still be stopping. 40 minutes to spare to bonus minutes that you can use to get to a aid station that has a cutoff that you may be near. Work on your cutoff times or your cutoff. Yeah. I'm sorry. Work on your aid station stop times. That's train as best you can, but man, that's what makes or breaks some things.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I had, and my head crew is Lacey, and she really pushed for us to have a crew meeting ahead of time. And I'm glad she did, because we really got it down to this is exactly what's going to happen when I come into an aid station. And people who were around in the area, I'm not very friendly when I know I'm up against cutoffs. You know, I'm not going to tell everyone, how you doing? How you feeling? No. None of that. You know, I came into the aid station and I'm taking off one vest. I'm slamming on a second vest because I had two vests that were identical and I just swapped them. Everything was already ready to go. So I threw on the other vest. They're switching my phone from one vest to the other while Lacey is putting some lube on my legs. Like, it was a pit stop crew. I even got a high five from Lucy. Did you see Lucy? Will and Rachel Edge's little baby. Yep. Yeah, I got a high five from Lucy, and then I was off and running, you know? So I think it's all fun and games, but if you're in the back of the pack, or if you're in the front and you're going for a podium, or if you're going for a PR, you know, then so that it's not just the back, it's not just the front either. I think all of us can learn from that. So really dialing that in, I mean, I'm talking about total time. I spent probably less than 10 minutes at aid stations because it was the Trail Sisters aid station. The one with the pretty view, Canyon Vista. I also skipped. So I skipped number one and I skipped Canyon Vista. And then the other couple, I saw Marisa. I was like, hey, grabbed some nerd gummy clusters. And I was out of that one. Iron Bridge.
Yeah, there. I'd be happy with those stop times. That's probably about what you should be at, what everybody should be at from the front of the pack to the end. But, you know, as you get farther towards the back, you got to think about those things that's going to cut time, like even stuff you can do as the runner coming into the aid station. If you're in the same vest and you're refilling bottles, well, grab the bottles out of your vest and have them in your hand. Yeah. And, you know, instead of them having to reach in, if it's a shoe change is definitely going to happen, your crew better be dropping to their knees and untying your shoes and taking them off as soon as you sit down, not you reaching down. You should be worried about making sure you have what you need, stuff like that.
Exactly. It's those little things, like you got to not be afraid to, one of the things, like the wrapper from my gels, I was sticking them like in the waistband of my shorts. So when I got to the aid station with my crew, I just grabbed handfuls and threw them on the ground. Because they can pick them up later. And I'm the same way when I crew. I'm like, don't hand me your trash. Just throw it on the ground. I'll pick it up later, you know?
Yeah, I saw a lot of sock changing happening pretty regularly.
Each
their own. I don't really know what it gets you when you go 20 yards into the woods and your feet are muddy and wet again already. But if it these people... these runners, obviously, if it prevents blisters or foot pain, then you got to do it. But it's
my rule of thumb has been, and I told several people this going into World's End, my rule of thumb is, because a couple of people asked me, you know, should I change my socks, my shoes, Grace? And I said, if you're having sock and shoe problems, then yes. But if nothing's a problem, don't change it. Like, don't change your socks or shoes just to change them. Only do it if you have like a massive blister and something's going wrong.
Yeah.
So that's been my rule of thumb.
Yeah, and I've had it happen myself before where muddy course such as that, your feet, your socks and your shoes kind of get to a happy spot where like mud is packed between your toes and everything seems to be working. Where if you when you disrupt that and put new shoes on and new socks, well, now new stuff's got to come in and it might not sit the best that it was sitting. So like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right. That's how I feel about sock and shoe changes, even on a dry course, even in a 100-miler, you know, if your feet are fine, I say, don't mess with it. Don't mess with it unless you have to.
Yep.
So well, I feel,
go ahead.
Yeah. I feel like I did well with all the things that were within my control. Nutrition was spot on. Again, it was the Morton gels. I did the Morton 160s this time. So I've just amped up my calorie intake a little bit. But nutrition was great. Hydration was great. My energy felt great. The mud sucked. and I'm still dealing with some breathing issues. So I was having a really hard time on my uphills. I'm still having a hard time breathing. So I got to figure that out. Cause I was coming into High Knob when you hit the road. I was coming into High Knob and I was breathing pretty hard. It was bad. And I just out of curiosity, I looked at my watch to see what my heart rate was, and it was only 130. So my breathing, I gotta see somebody about it, because it's hanging on way too long. I'm still coughing up stuff a couple days later. Yeah. So, but I try my best. So there we go.
Yep. Well, you have a good attitude coming out of it. Thanks. See you next year. Look forward to it.
Well, I hope I see you before then, but you know.
I mean, that's debatable.
No.
I mean, we're like this, Grace. We're close.
No, don't do it again. Don't do it again.
All right. Well, I don't know what else, if we should beat the dead horse anymore, but yeah, man,
that feels good.
Everybody that finished, you should be very proud of this year's finish. It's always a hard course, but this year is a little more challenging. Congrats to everyone, and it's time to put Worlds in the bed and move on to the next race.
That's right. The next race in the Triple Crown series, for anybody who's doing it, is, of course, Eastern States. But lots of fun stuff between now and then, and all kinds of other things to talk about.
Yes. Laurel Highlands is in 2 weeks.
Yes. Isn't Slate Run this weekend?
Slate Run is probably this weekend. Yep, it is racing season. Every weekend there's something fun to find. So get out there and get muddy.
Yeah, especially this year. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, you want to wrap her up, Grace?
Yeah, let's wrap her up. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm getting a tattoo.
Ooh, that's exciting. Do we get to know what it is, or are we going to see later?
No, you might see later if I ever see you again this year, but okay. We'll see.
Okay. Why would I see you again this year? I'm going to see you again.
I don't know. We'll see. You're coming to the summer race, aren't you?
I'll definitely be there.
Okay. Stuff's going to get strict with this summer idiot race, July 12th. If you want to do it, you better get a hold of me. If not, you're blocked forever from that event, and interested people are getting thrown out to the curb. So it's happening like now.
I'm excited. Yeah. It's going to be a fun summer. I don't have anything too serious happening this summer. Like the stuff, I am registered for a few things, and I'm just going to go off of my base fitness for it. I'm ready to not be seriously training.
Right. Sometimes you need that.
Yeah. So I'm going to have fun this weekend. I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend. We'll see how my knees feel.
Yeah. Well, let them figure that out. Don't push yourself too hard.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good job. Good attempt. And I think everybody listening knows that, or you know that we all believe that you will cross that finish line. It's possible. It's doable. And you're strong enough. You're something, and people like you. What's the Stuart
Smiley?
Yeah, seriously though, yeah, it'll happen. Everything's got to just come together. And this year, everything unraveled, not for you, everything unraveled as far as the physical course went, not coming, and it definitely didn't come together. So, dust it off and get back out there.
Yeah, thankful to still be able to do this kind of stuff, you know?
Yep.
So
do the nice things and tell everybody to watch us and stuff.
Yeah, watch us. I mean, if you want to watch us on the YouTube, you absolutely can. Just know that you might see hand gestures from Eric, and I can't promise.
Like waving.
I don't. He's just waving. That's all. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
That's it. But you can check us out live on YouTube, Facebook Live as well, and then afterwards streaming on all the podcast platforms, on the Spotify's and Podcast Addict and iTunes. And so go like those things and share them with your friends, and you will be the most popular friend in your fan group. And then everybody will say you are amazing because you suggested this podcast. And so tune in Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern to hear about our shenanigans and to see Eric's beautiful face. Just like that.
Yep. All right. Any more? Are you good?
I'm good.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. See you next week. Take us out, Grace.
Thank you. Bye.